The United Kingdom Atomic Energy Authority has pioneered the development of civil nuclear energy in the UK. This is Harwell, the site of the UK's first nuclear reactor. Harwell was also the centre of early fusion research in the 1950s. Britain's original large-scale experimental device Zeta was housed in one of the RAF's hangars at this site. Hello, I'm Cliff Sarin, and ComputerWeekly.com has been given exclusive access, and I'm here today with Chris Broad, Head of Information Systems and Technology at the Atomic Energy Authority. Now, you've been running quite a sophisticated IT environment here. Can you tell me what the challenges have been?
Yeah, it's probably worth spending a minute or two looking at the journey that UK has come on over the decades. As you said, all things nuclear power started here just after the war, 1946, with the organisation's had its 50th anniversary, which makes it a pretty well-established organisation. But it does mean, not only has it got a history and a legacy of nuclear power, it also has a significant history of IT and IT infrastructures. UKA is distributed from the far north coast of Scotland. We have a major site facing the Orkneys, down to a site on the south coast in Dorset, Winfrith. We have a presence on various other locations around the country. So communication is fundamentally important to us. This means that we were an early adapter of network technology, and we moved to Novell's NDS system basically as early as it was available and workable. The organisation makes extensive use of video conferencing. So recently we have moved video conferencing onto a fully converged IP network. And we also run IP telephony. So all the communication methods that you would deem appropriate to an organisation like ours are key to us. We also, though, because we're a public sector organisation, very cost conscious. So base cost of IT is a significant issue. Hence, we're always looking for ways to do things more efficiently, but without increasing risk. So you're quite right, we do run a pretty sophisticated desktop environment, but we also manage it via the most effective tools we can find. So that remote access, remote deployment of software, automatic inventory control, asset management, all these things were dependent on the network to deliver us.
Okay, now so what have been the challenges you've been facing on the desktop?
The biggest challenge I think on the desktop is the one that probably faces most IT directors is maintaining standardisation. You can't, if you're running 3,000 desktops, you can't ensure that the 3,000 desktops are identical. But if you can limit the diversity, it makes major changes and major implementations that much smoother.
You were on NetWare, but that's quite an old operating system.
UKA has moved over the last two or three years from being essentially a independent organisation to one that now works for an organisation called the NDA. The NDA is the Nuclear Decommission Agency, which was set up by the government to manage the decommissioning of all civil nuclear sites. UKA is responsible for two of those major sites, which is Harwell and Winfrith, which is now considered a single one, and Dounreay. So we are decommissioning those on behalf of NDA. But the advent of NDA meant that it was entirely appropriate for UKA to reorganise itself. And it's reorganised itself basically into a group of entities. One of those entities is a commercial arm, UKA Limited as it's currently called, which is out there actively in the world pursuing more nuclear related decommissioning work. In order to achieve this reorganisation, it was necessary to do something with the infrastructure. We were running, as you quite rightly say, a single Novell directory, NDS directory. So we were faced with a choice. We had to logically separate out the infrastructure to meet the needs of each of these new components of the group, which meant we had to give them basically their own directory structure.
So in 2006, you decided to assess replacing Novell. What were your options?
The basic option, the need was to restructure the directory to reflect the recently formed group of company organisations within UKA. The two options were to restructure Novell or to move to Active Directory.
How did you go about evaluating Linux against Windows?
I think our history with Linux is not quite as simple as that. We have used Linux and Unix operating systems in the past. And as with a lot of our technology, we've tended to use it when it was the best alternative on the market. So at one stage, running large Intel-based servers, Unix was a better operating system. We're hitting limits in the then Windows operating systems. But what we did discover during the time we did use Unix was that support issues aren't as straightforward as you might imagine. In some environments, Unix support is easy, but we tend to buy in at the best market a lot of our support. So I've got contracts for desktop and server support. If you're doing that, it's not particularly straightforward to get Unix support. And also you get involved in complications running mixed Unix and Windows environments. So your costs go up. So we did take a conscious decision to move away from the Unix-Linux environment and to standardise on Windows platform on all servers. So it was entirely logical that when we came to look at the Novell Windows decision, we were then happy to evaluate Windows against Novell.
So we are here with Microsoft, so I guess Windows and the Active Directory won. What made it compelling for the Atomic Energy Authority?
The initial decision was quite straightforward. It was the cheapest option, and also of significant importance for UKA, one of my big customers, was it represented a relatively low and acceptable risk migration. It's something that we could demonstrate to the business had already been done. We brought in a partner, Computer Center, to help us with the major project. So it was a combination of risk and cost. We did have a lot of cooperation from Microsoft, whereas in the past perhaps we haven't had a particularly direct relationship with Microsoft. As a result of the project we now have. I mentioned the business decision, and it was quite a clear business decision to go to Microsoft. We have found since then more benefits than we originally put in that case. And the benefits have been around ease of integration of other software and other products. Mm. Now we are essentially a Microsoft house in that sense. It's because we don't actually do much development, we tend to be integrators. The products we're integrating are native to the Microsoft world, whereas in the past we were always taking a version that was the second version that had then been converted to run under Novell. But we do find that there are support advantages to just going straight into the Microsoft world.
I expect you're also looking at Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. Any plans?
We have looked at Vista. We looked at Vista in some detail. We haven't looked particularly hard at 2008. But we run a general strategy. I mentioned the nuclear industry and the avoidance of risk. We, as a matter of policy, do not automatically move to a new version when it becomes available. We like to wait until that version is proven in the marketplace, until there's the odd service pack available. Also, because we are very cost conscious, we tend to only move when there is a business driver to do so, which invariably means your support costs are getting high or you're having integration problems with other software. So it's a long answer to no, we don't have any plans to move to either of those products at the moment.
Well, clearly you're an organisation that's now quite happy with moving infrastructure over to the Microsoft technology. What advice would you give anyone who's assessing Linux at the moment?
I think the Linux is a great product. If it has a problem, it's support and integration issues with other products. It is still not considered mainstream, certainly in the commercial world. If you're an academic university, I think the considerations are different. to make sure you fully understand the costs and the support is the message I would give.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for listening. Please join me again on www.computerweekly.com/podcasts.